The scripture reading is John chapter 6, verse 66 through 7:1. If you want to stand, it will be up on the wall. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. His disciples left Jesus Christ. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he that should betray them, being one of the 12. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. You may be seated. I can't get over what Randa said about the hymn. The hymn basically provides a choice. Do you choose the good or the evil? Do you choose what the scripture says, or do you choose something else? There's a decision that's going to have to be made. I think that's true. This sermon will be exactly what that is. What do you choose to believe? Do you choose to believe what the Bible says, or do you believe to choose what other people say? Before I begin with this sermon, remember I said I will never forget Sandy Hook. Mark sent me a great email that told about a Mr. Wolfgang Haubig, a German immigrant who became a Florida State Trooper and a United States Customs Inspector. He also was a coach and teacher. He does not believe that anyone was killed at Sandy Hook Elementary School, and he's looking for some answers. But there's a problem. No one is giving him any information. Mr. Haubig testified at Columbine High School massacre, and his responsibility today is to instruct over 4,000 school districts on safety. But he doesn't have a clue to what happened to Sandy Hook. So Sandy Hook's very important for him because that's what his job is, to make schools safe. His next plan is to sue who? The NFL. Because he can't even get the names of the Sandy Hook choir that was paid room and transportation to sing at the Super Bowl. Mr. Haubig said the only way to get the truth is to put people on the stand and have them answer some simple questions. If they lie, then that is a felony. All I can say is may God help this brother from Judah to arrange these court cases. The interviewer asked him the logical question, "Are you afraid that they will kill you?" This was after two detectives were sent to his home and told him to stop pursuing the question of what happened at Sandy Hook. He answered, I think it's a very good answer, "I am 67 years old." He came to the United States. He couldn't even speak English. We went to school. He says, "I've had a good life. If they kill me, they will kill me." He's going to keep on asking the questions. I'm telling you, Sandy Hook, the more I get into it, it's just a big hoax. It did not come to pass the way they said it did. Another issue with the Sandy Hook mess is they are building 26 playgrounds, so that'd be the next one. Each one honoring one of the slain victims. Now, this is a playground in Normandy, New Jersey, which is 100 miles from Sandy Hook. They built this one for Chase Kowalski, one of the so-called victims. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were in charge of a sign that honored Chase, what would you put on it? Look at what they did. And you tell me who's part of this hoax. Look at the next picture. Shows it maybe even a little better. This was the opening. That's Mr. Kowalski and his wife and his two other daughters. Behind him, you can see, and the shirts all have the same design on it. The one eye, I guess it's maybe not a pyramid. It's a heart signal with his hands. The next one is another sign at the park celebrating the life of Chase Kowalski, son, brother, friend, hero. This is the 8th of 26 tributes to the Children and Family Values in Normandy Beach, New Jersey. If you look at the bottom, I found this kind of funny. The playground was built with the support of NJEA in loving memory of Joseph Swartz. I don't know who Joseph Swartz is, a friend to many, but Swartz to me seems to be a Jewish name. Well, that's what they're doing. They're building playgrounds all over the area in honor of the 26 children, 26 people who were murdered in Sandy Hook. But they've got, you've seen the rock stars and all these people put the one eye. That's Illuminati, if you don't know. Well, that's Sandy Hook. And I'm going to talk about the debate between the young earth creationist Ken Ham versus the science guy Bill Nye. I'm going to publicly say that they're both are wrong. They both taught that all people of the earth go back to either, number one, they all go back to Adam and Eve. Answers in Genesis also adds that all of the human race's common parent was mid-brown in color. And the science guy, they all go back to a one-cell organism. Evolution says that all animals come from this one cell that came from the Big Bang Theory. But the question is, where did the star's molecules that blew up come from? When he was asked, Bill Nye said, "We don't know." Bill Nye said in debate that there were Christians who did not agree with Ken Ham. They believe that the earth is older than 6,000 years. Well, we are one of those who definitely disagree with Ken Ham. But we disagree with both debaters. But what we most disagree with is they both make miscegenation, race mixing, a valid activity. Why do they do that? They both say the human race is nothing more than one race. Now, Bill Nye doesn't consider the Bible as God's word. And Ken Ham totally ignores what the Word of God says on this topic. I guess that's what Mark said about Chrissy. They just totally ignore it. Bill Nye is not a Christian. But Ken Ham and the Answers in Genesis followers call themselves Christians. But they would not agree with the sermon. If they disagree, then what does the scriptures mean? That's my question. What do these scriptures that I'm going to show you mean? They need to address these verses from the Bible. So that's my introduction. Palestine was divided in how many portions in the life of Jesus? Three. To the far north was the area of Galilee. In the middle was Samaria. And the southern part was Judea. You remember my last sermon. That's very good. Well, Samaria contained who? Babylonians, sent there to replace the house of Israel after they were taken into captivity by the king of Assyria. Galilee and Judea contained true Israelites from the tribes of the house of Judah. Galilee was inhabited by the tribes of Benjamin and Levi, with a few Israelites from the tribe of Judah. Well, that made up the house of Judah, those three tribes. Judea was inhabited by a large remnant of the tribe of Judah, with a few Israelites from the other two tribes, Levi and Benjamin. But someone else was living there. There was also a large number of their enemy, the Edomite Jew, who also lived and ruled there. And then the third area was the area in the middle, which was Samaria. That was inhabited mostly by the Babylonians who were sent there after the house of Israel. It was taken into captivity. It was almost devoid of any Israelites. It wasn't totally devoid, but almost totally devoid. Galilee was the territory where the majority of the ministry of Jesus Christ was held. And I showed you that last time. He performed many miracles around the area of the Sea of Galilee. He walked on the water. He picked out his disciples. He fed 5,000. It all happened around the Sea of Galilee. He also gave the Sermon on the Mount. They had the miraculous occurrence that happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. He walked on the water. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. The swine drowned in the Sea of Galilee who had the demons. He stilled the storm on the Galilean Sea, on and on and on. Many of the people of the New Testament who were Jesus Christ's disciples and friends were from where? The northern territory of Palestine, which was called Galilee. Judea also contained a small part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. But it was mainly where his birth, baptism, temple gathering at feast days, and his arrest, trial, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension occurred. There were a few miracles that he performed in Judea. For example, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, the healing of the blind man in Jericho. But it was mainly in Galilee that Jesus did most of his work. Even after his resurrection, his disciples were instructed to go to a specific mountain in Galilee to meet him there. It was because in Judea, the enemy of the true Israelites, who was that? The older twin brother of Jacob, Israel, Esau, also lived. The descendants of Esau were invited to become part of the kingdom of Judah by Hyrcanus, the high priest of Judah. This happened a couple of centuries before our Savior was born and was a huge, huge, massive sin. Many of them moved from Seir, which is where they lived in Idumea, to the city of Jerusalem and the surrounding cities. By the time our Savior was born, they, the Edomites, gained the control of the land of Judea. What? They gained control. How did they? The king, the executive branch, was Edomite Jew, King Herod. Most of the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were in the legislature, they were Edomite Jews. And many of the judges, the judicial branch, were Edomite Jews also. They also became many of the elders, chief priests, scribes, and money changers. They were all Edomite Jews. Well, this is against Mosaic law. It was forbidden to happen. But because of Judah's acceptance of what? Multiculturalism, it had occurred. Israel was very much an apostate land with just a few faithful believers. Judah's high priest, Hyrcanus, the forerunner of Pastor Haggai, tried to make the covenant apply to Esau when it was not his position to do so. For Esau had long ago sealed his own doom. For he despised what? The covenant. We read in the scriptures how he sold his covenant and how he lost the special blessing of his father Isaac. there was nothing anyone could do about this situation, for Almighty God hated Esau for what he did. It was God's decision, not man's. Jesus went to Judea for the feast days because in Jerusalem was the only place where the feast days could be held. But he knew that who was seeking to kill him? The Jews. He went there at the time of Passover so he could fulfill the scriptures which told of the time of his death. He voluntarily laid down his life for the sheep. For he was the Passover lamb. The death of Jesus had to coincide with the death of all the Passover lambs that were being sacrificed by each Israelite household. He was to die on Passover, not one day before, not one day after. Jesus Christ could not die on any other day or time. And when they tried to kill him before this, he just disappeared. It had to be at the same time the Passover lambs were being slaughtered. Got a couple points to think about. One, since each Israelite household was to eat the Passover lamb, how could any Israelite be a vegetarian? And number two, as a side note, who were the Passover lamb sacrificed for? In other words, for whom did its blood put away their sins for 1 year? The Israelites under the Old Testament had a different destiny than the Israelite Christians under the New Testament. Jesus Christ's death was only a promise. It hadn't happened as of yet in the Old Testament. If the Lamb of God hadn't died and been resurrected, what would happen to the Old Testament saints who died? They still needed a Savior. They would never be in the kingdom on the earth until the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Passover first occurred while the Israelites were in Egypt. They were the only ones who had the opportunity to observe it. The lamb saved the life of each Israelite's family's what? Firstborn son. The Israelites' firstborn son lived. What happened to the Egyptians' firstborn son? He died. It was all because of the blood of the lamb. Samaria, the middle portion, contained mainly Babylonians put there by the king of Assyria. So we had Galilee to the north, Samaria in the middle, and Judea in the south. Let me ask you a question. Galilee, Samaria, and Judea. Which portion do you think was the safest and more of an Israelite location for a true Israelite to live? Well, the answer without a doubt is Galilee. In Judea, there was the hatred of the Edomites against the Israelites and their laws. I don't think most Christians know about this. They hated anyone who tried to expose their evil deeds. Look what happened to Jesus. If one raised his voice in opposition to the rules of the Edomite Jews, he would find himself in trouble with the government. Kind of sounds like the United States. In Samaria, they had different laws too. A person who was trying to live by God's laws would be out of sync with the Babylonians of Samaria. They had a religion that was a mixture of Babylonian beliefs with Israelite ceremonies and histories. It was an adulterated mixture between paganism and God's truth. Kind of sounds like Judeo-Christianity. Galilee was the good soil for the seed of God's message. The youngest tribe member, who was the youngest tribe member of Israel? Benjamin. When he was born, who died? His mother. The youngest tribe member, Benjamin, was the light once again for his older brethren. The message could be proclaimed without fear of the Jews or the belief of an adulterated version of the truth. Now in Judea, a mixture between Talmudic law and the true law of God existed. The majority rule was the Talmudic law of the Edomites. The small remnant of Judah kept the true faith of their covenant fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In Samaria, a mixture of Babylonian rituals and beliefs with Israel's history and rituals. It was actually the forerunner of modern-day Roman Catholicism, and I will show that in my next sermon. Galilee, the place where the people could hear God's word. The message could be preached in peace as long as who? The Edomite Jews were not there. I'm going to talk about a huge Jewish problem. The Jesus ministry was stationed where? To the north in Galilee. And even after he was resurrected, his disciples met him in the mountain in Galilee. This presents a major problem for today's Jews. The Jews are descended from who? Esau, known as Edom. Now, who says that? I'm going to show you who says that. But to carry out their fraud, they claim to be descended from the tribe of Judah. The tribe that was given what? Ruling power from Almighty God. The vast majority of the royalty of Europe are all descended from King David of the tribe of Judah. And it was to David that God gave the promise that Israel would be ruled by his descendants. You know, this hatred is still a part of them. I'll give you two examples. The Jewish-led French Revolution, the Jewish-led Communist Revolution. One of their goals was the extermination of the royalty in Europe. France assassinated its royalty, and Russia killed theirs, Tsar Nicholas and his family. The Jewish-led revolts killed the royalty from those two nations, both of whom were descended from King David. This is one reason why today's Jews desire to be descended from the tribe of Judah. They could make this fraud have some validity because that is where they lived for several centuries. Where did they live? They lived in Judea, which was where the remnant of the tribe of Judah lived also. The tribe of Judah lived other places too, as they were part of both the Assyrian and Babylonian captivity. They lived in Greece, Rome, England, France, Babylon, on and on and on. But in Judea, the majority of Israelites that lived there were from the tribe of Judah. The lost 10 tribes of Israel had already gone in their captivity before the Edomites were offered to join the separatist kingdom of Israel in Judea by their high priest, Hyrcanus. What? Separatist kingdom? And they were offered to join the separatist kingdom? I think Hyrcanus, you might call him one of the first Judeo-Christians. By adding the Edomites to their kingdom, no longer made Judea a separatist kingdom. It became a counterfeit kingdom, Satan's kingdom. It came very close to destroying the kingdom of God forever. It's what the United States is today. A ZOG, Zionist-occupied government, controlled government. This is the main reason that Jesus' ministry was not in Judea, where the Edomite Jews were living. The Edomites had taken over the kingdom by force from the tribe of Judah, and were enforcing their laws over most of the land of Judea. Have you ever noticed in the scriptures how the Pharisees time and time again accused Jesus Christ of not keeping their Talmudic law? Jesus warned his disciples specifically to beware of whose doctrine? Well, the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Matthew chapter 15, verses 6 through 12. The Edomite Jews were the majority in the Pharisees and Sadducees institutions. They weren't all the Pharisees, but they were a vast majority of Pharisees. Jesus was at war with the doctrine of these Edomites. He told his disciples to be wary of their teachings and to not follow them. It's still true today. Jesus knew that the Edomite Jew was planning and plotting for a way to murder him. They hated him and believed that he was a fake and a phony. They believed that he was a bastard and his mother a prostitute. He told his disciples about what was going to happen to him when he went to Jerusalem. Now we're going to start to get a lot of scriptures. We start with Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. And I go back to Randa's hymn. Who are you going to believe? You going to believe the scriptures? Or are you going to believe something else? I think Christian identity, you have to believe the scriptures. It's a racial book. Or are you going to be something else? Matthew 15, chapter 15, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things from who? The elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. He also told them about the plans of the Edomite Jews to murder him in a few of the references given. And there's a bunch of references that I put down here. Jesus was not surprised that he was arrested, for he knew ahead of time that he was going to be crucified and 3 days later resurrected. He had previously told his disciples about it when it would occur, exactly when it would occur. Now, we go back in history. When Jesus was a young child under the age of 2, the king, who was an Edomite, according to scriptures, he was an Edomite, King Herod tried to murder him. He failed, but he did murder all the children of Bethlehem, who were Israelites, who was 2 years old or younger. Jesus had been taken from Bethlehem to Egypt by his mother and father shortly before this murderous rampage took place. But Jesus' life was spared. After King Herod's death, an angel of God warned Joseph to take his wife and young child to live in Galilee and not live in Judea. And this is what they did. Jesus lived in Nazareth in Galilee for most of his life. The fact that Jesus lived and performed so many miracles in Galilee and even picked the majority of his 12 disciples from Galilee, again, it puts a major problem for the Jew of today to keep his lie intact. The only disciple who was not from the tribe of Benjamin was Judas Iscariot, who was a Jew. Judas betrayed Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. For Jesus dealt with mainly Israelites from the tribes of Benjamin and Levi, with a few from the tribe of Judah. In fact, the Bible states that Jesus lived in Galilee because he knew that he would be murdered by the Edomite Jews in Judea. Now, who does the Edomite Jews say were their ancestors? Would you believe what they say, who they say their ancestor is? Jews are history's foremost race mixer, hypocrites, and promoters of Mongolization.
Exactly what Esau had done.
Racial tension can best be understood through Jewish incitement and Jewish social engineering. Ultimately, Jewish machinations for breeding out pure races, not just whites, and ushering in an era of one homogenized breed is nothing less than genocide. Would you believe the Jewish Encyclopedia, 1925 edition, volume 5, page 4, states this very fact. Who do they say is modern Jewry? Edom. Edom is modern Jewry. Edom is Esau. Esau is modern Jewry. Enemy of Israel. If you don't believe the Jewish Encyclopedia, how about the Jewish 1984 Jewish Almanac? What a saying this is. Quote, strictly speaking, it is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew, or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite or a Hebrew. What's exactly what we believe? That's exactly what the Bible says. The Jews say it themselves. It is incorrect and blasphemous for Edomite Jews to call themselves Israelites. What does a Judeo-Christian say about this? Jacob remained racially pure while Esau mixed his seed with alien wives. So a little more than 100 years before the birth of Jesus, Judea was inhabited by Edomites, descendants of Esau, and Judah, descendants of Jacob Israel. It was probably an attempt to heal the breach between Jacob and Esau, but demonstrated the complete lack of faith in God's holy word. The breach can never be healed. It brought a discordant element, the Edomites, into the land. Jerusalem, the capital city of Judea, was predominantly inhabited by Edomite Jews. Esau, Isaac's firstborn, despised the birthright when he traded it for a meal of red lentils. Esau, Edom, is now seeking to steal it back. How? By the same method his father used to spoil Adam's race. Lust. Esau Edom has already stolen Jacob's identity and is intermarrying to try to steal back his birthright. The Jews are the only race to never have a homeland for over 2,000 years. Henry Ford called them international Jews because as Canaanite vagabonds, they wandered the world, as God foretold. They enjoy the benefits of their host country while contributing nothing. And although Jews appear in the histories of other nations throughout the centuries, they were never able or willing to establish a nation of their own. The only way they got Palestine from the Turks and Arabs was to persuade others to steal it for them. Since Esau married into the line of Cain, called Canaanites in the Bible, who was the original vagabond, it's plain to see where the spirit of globalism, internationalism, and multiculturalism originated. Esau became a globalist or internationalist. Let me ask you a question. Who established the League of Nations? Who established the United Nations? It was the descendants of Esau. This is against the faith revealed through Moses and the prophets, which absolutely forbids confederations such as the two organizations just mentioned that the Jews established. The Jews are parasites in any land that they live. They are parasites. This is one of the main reasons they have been kicked out of every country and many cities in Europe some over and over again. And I've got the quote up there. Here's the quote. The genesis of the Jew is to live off people, not off the land, nor off the production of commodities from raw material, but they live off people. Let the other people till the soil. The Jew, if he can, will live off the tiller. Let other people toil with trades and manufacturers. The Jew will exploit the fruits of their world. That is his peculiar genius, unquote. That's from The International Jew, The World's Foremost Problem, written by Henry Ford. So if the Jews say in secret that they are who? Edom. And Edom was constantly and consistently trying to murder Jesus Christ. And they cannot hear Jesus' words. You tell me, how could they be his covenant people? Esau sold his birthright and lost the blessings of his father. How could Jesus Christ die for Esau's descendants? Now we're going to look at some scriptures. Matthew chapter 17, verse 22 through 23. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceedingly sorry. Again, it shows that Jesus knew who was going to kill him, when it was going to happen, and where it would occur. Jesus repeated the information to his disciples on the way to Jerusalem. So now we look at Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 through 19. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside along the way and said unto his 12 disciples, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify him. And again, in the third day he shall rise again. The chief priest and scribes, Edomite Jews, were displeased at the actions of Jesus Christ. Matthew 21, verse 15. And when the chief priest and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they, the chief priest and scribes, were very displeased. Matthew 21, 38, 39, 45, and 46. But when the farmers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Now who's the us talking about? Who's the us? And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard these parables, they perceived that he spoke of who? Them. And when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they regarded Jesus Christ as a prophet. Jesus continues this onslaught of complaints against the Canaanites, against the Jews, with all his woes and Hippocrates' statements in chapter 23. Let's look at just one of these statements, which tells of one group of individuals whose destiny is hellfire. Matthew chapter 23, verses 30 through 33. And say, if we, the Bible's a lot about pronouns. If we, who's the we? If we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. So if we lived when our father was alive, we wouldn't have killed the prophets. Wherefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of them who killed the prophets.
fill you up than the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation or offspring of vipers? How can you escape the damnation of hell? The Bible tells of Jewish authorities who plot the murder of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 through 5. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days in the feast of the Passover is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is to be betrayed and to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests, the scribes, the elders of the people, unto the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas. And they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Well, who did Judas make his deal with to betray Jesus Christ? Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 16. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they bargained with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Who were the people who tried to find false witnesses to testify against Jesus Christ? This is very interesting scriptures. It's Matthew 26, 59 through 68. Same old guys again. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council, they were looking for false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. How many did they find? None. They didn't find any. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Well, that's misinterpreting what he said. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether that be the Christ, the Son of God. Then Jesus began to speak. He said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. That's talking about when they destroyed him in 70 AD. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of any witnesses? Behold, now you've heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then what did they do? They spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands, smacked him right in the face, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who smote thee? Who were the people that took counsel against Jesus to put him to death? Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 2. When the morning was come, chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Who did Judas betray Jesus to? Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 and 4. Then Judas, who had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned and I have betrayed innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See thou to it. Who accused Jesus to Pilate? Matthew chapter 27, verses 12 through 14. And when he was accused by the chief priest and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Who convinced the people to choose Barabbas and not Jesus? Matthew 27, verse 20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Who mocked Jesus Christ while he was being crucified? Matthew chapter 27, verses 41 through 42. Likewise also, here we go again, the chief priest, mocking him with the scribe and elders, said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Who was watching and guarding against Jesus' resurrection? Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 through 66. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together and the Pilate. So the chief priests and Pharisees came, saying, Sir, remember that the deceiver said, While he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure unto the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. For then the last error shall be worse than the first. So Pilate said to them, You have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. They're guarding against the resurrection. Well, who bribed the soldiers who were watching Jesus' grave? Matthew 28, verses 11 through 15. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. Oh, the soldiers went to the chief priest, told him that he's resurrected. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave much money unto the soldiers. They bribed them, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while you slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, what will the Jews do? We will persuade him and secure you. So what did the soldiers do? They took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until the day. I found this verse very important because the Jews knew that he was resurrected. And they bribed the soldiers to say otherwise. Did you see what I just read? The Jews knew that Jesus Christ, the person who they hated so much that they had crucified, and they had placed guards to prevent his resurrection, they knew that he was resurrected. They promised the soldiers that if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. All the soldiers had to do for the money that they gave them was to lie about what had happened. Instead of Jesus being resurrected, they were to say the disciples came and stole him while they slept. While they slept. This was a capital crime. But they trusted that the Jews would bring it to pass that all would be well. It refers to the judicial hearing of the matter. if the governor hears what happened in regards to Jesus' resurrection, we will take effectual means to persuade him. In other words, we'll bribe him. The Jews, knowing the covetous, greedy character of the governor, could confidently make this promise. Well, this is the Jewish method. It's not the truth, but it's what they want to happen. Now, these verses were just in Matthew, and they were not all of them. There's a lot more in Mark, Luke, John, and the rest of the New Testament. And who do you think tried to murder the Apostle Paul? I'll read one other verse. It's Acts chapter 14, verse 19. And there came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. I think he did die. The apostles Barnabas and Paul had refused the people's thought about what they had done. What was the incident? They had healed a man who was crippled from birth. And the people claimed that they were foreign gods. Barnabas they called Jupiter. Paul they called Mercury. And the priest of Jupiter came with oxen and garlands to offer a sacrifice for the miraculous healing that they had done. Paul immediately told the people that they were not gods, but men of like passion as they were. But so thicky were the multitudes that they allowed these Jews from the distant cities of Antioch and Iconium to stone Paul and to cast him out of the city as one dead. Probably he laid insensible for some time before the disciples would be able to gather around his supposed corpse. And his rising in their midst, apparently uninjured, was doubtless miraculous. It was probably that young Timothy was one of those disciples who witnessed the apostle suffering for the truth's sake. Exactly what that hymn said. What are you going to choose? Paul chose the right task. And that the close bonds which afterwards bound together the Father and his Son in the faith were first knit in the hour of peril and persecution. The evidence is overwhelming. The Bible says without a doubt, who hated Jesus Christ? Who hated his disciples? Who hated Christians? Esau, Edom, today known as the Pharisees and the Jews. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.